Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Wednesday afternoon to each and every one of you, wherever you might be out there in Stand in the Gap territory. I'm Gary Dahl, and of course, as I've been emphasizing throughout the course of this week, Dave Kistler and Sam Rohr are not with us. Dave is over in the Holy Land, and Sam Rohr is up in Alaska, and neither one of them are really on vacation. They're just on some work-study programs, and I trust that they'll be learning a lot so that when they come back with us next week, they'll be able to tell us a lot, and we might learn as well. But anyway, we are delighted to have you there by the radio. And today our co-host is one of our pastors from Arkansas. He's Pastor Jim Brattell. Jim, of course, is the president of the Arkansas Pastors Network. Jim, welcome to Stand in the Gap today.
Thank you, sir. It's my honor to be here, and I'm privileged. Thank you, Gary.
Well, it's an honor to have you with us. And why don't you tell our people a little bit about your ministry, Jim?
Yes, sir. I am an 80-year-old pastor. I've been in the ministry since about 1970, formerly at a church, but I was preaching prior to that, about 1965. I have come out of a Southern Baptist background, an independent setting here now in the last, about the last 35 years, and I presently pastor a non-registered church. I organized this in January of this year. And I have a pastor in training. He's a black pastor that grew up under my ministry. And we're meeting at the Baptist Hospital in North Little Rock. And I teach on Sunday morning for an hour. He teaches for an hour. And then I do a Monday night home Bible study. I do a Wednesday night co-host with Michael, my pastor in training. And anywhere from 8 to 10 radio programs a week from a backyard out of the shack in the back.
Shack in the back. Well, that sounds like something. What's that?
That's what my friends call it. It's a 12-by-16-foot tough shed that I converted into an internet radio station.
Well, bless your little heart. I've seen pictures of that internet station. It doesn't look like it's in a shack to me. It looks pretty good.
But that's what my friends call it.
But we are delighted to have you with us. Also today, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have with us Steve Jolly. I talked about him a little bit yesterday. And mentioned that we're going to be talking about preparedness, being prepared for disasters that may come our way, whatever they may be. And Steve has a lot to say on that, so you'll want to make sure that you're with us in the second, third, and the fourth segments of the program, because he'll have a lot of information to share. What we find today is that many Christians and others, for that matter, are really not prepared for disasters. And if disasters come, why, it's going to have a negative effect on all of us in more ways than one. And so Steve's going to be with us to talk about this today. But before we get into that, Jim, you know, you're down there in the South. You're in Arkansas. And this shooting that took place last Wednesday in Charleston, South Carolina, has really affected our nation. And I have an article before me that says the cultural cleansing of the southern states is beginning. And it's an article written by Todd Starnes, who of course is with Fox News. And he says this: a full-fledged cultural cleansing of the southern states is underway as lawmakers debate whether to remove Confederate flags and rename schools and parks named for Confederate war heroes. There are also discussions in Washington, D.C. about removing Confederate-related statues from the United States Capitol, including a statue of Jefferson Davis, the former president of the Confederacy. And this thing just goes on and on and on. You know, various stores are removing Confederate flags and Confederate signs from their shelves and so forth and so on. Being that you are a citizen of a southern state there in Arkansas, what are your thoughts on this? Is this something that's good, bad, indifferent? What are you seeing there in Arkansas, if anything?
Well, you know, it's only about a week old or so, and Gary, I don't think that I think that the news media is hyping this. I know of Ted Starnes. I've been in meetings where he has spoken. He's articulate. He's right on. He's right on target. But in terms of whether or not this is a cleansing of the South, it may be in South Carolina. It may be in other places. But I haven't really noticed so much of that here in the state of Arkansas. And I think really part of that reason may be because since 1957 or so, the problem among races is not quite as livid and alive as maybe it may be somewhere else. We don't have a Confederate flag flying anywhere over the state capitol. I've never heard, quite honestly, when I came to Arkansas in 1970, I was when I spoke to the folks, they would say, "Oh, you're not from here," and I said, "No, sir." "Well, where are you from?" I said, "Well, I come from Ohio." And said, "Well, we thought you didn't come here because you don't speak like us." I said, "I know, I speak English."
That's a good way to get kicked out of the South, brother.
Yeah, you're right. But that's right. But you know, like I said, I'm sort of direct and get to the point, and I indicated that. I've kept hearing this thing, this Yankee stuff. Well, you know, over the last 40 years, Gary, that subsided. I don't hear any of that anymore, and I still talk like I'm from Cleveland, Ohio.
Mm. Well, you know, it's interesting just the way this thing is taking shape. Tennessee lawmakers are demanding that a bust of Nathan Bedford Forrest be removed from the State House. Baltimore lawmakers want to rename the Robert E. Lee Park. Dallas lawmakers are considering demands to rename Stonewall Jackson Elementary School. And it just goes on and on and on. And you know, when I look at the flag, the Confederate flag, you know, maybe because I grew up in Western Pennsylvania, in Fayette County, Western Pennsylvania, you know, maybe I'm just sort of a backwoods guy and don't know any different. But when I look at a Confederate flag, I don't think of evil or bad. I just look at our history. What about you?
Well, you know, I guess that I sort of sense the same thing. I wasn't seeing the flag. As a matter of fact, I've sort of liked it. I understand historically what it was all about, but I think today when there is the problem we had coming out of South Carolina, I quite honestly, Gary, I think there's a lot of guilt. I think there's a lot of guilt on the part of white people. And I sense that maybe they're motivated by guilt, and that would cause them to make a decision they might not make otherwise if they understood the history of this country.
Mm. Well, I think that's a good point to take into consideration, and you know, our history has happened, good, bad, or indifferent. It has happened, and we need to recognize that.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to have with us Steve Jolly. We are going to be talking about preparedness, being prepared for all sorts of disasters that may come our way. And so we will not want you to go away. We will be back right after these messages, and I think that what we have to share with you will be something that will be very, very practical for you, where you are, where you will be tomorrow, and where you will be in the future here in the United States of America. We'll be back with more right after this.
This is Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, and I'm thrilled to announce that BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, has come alongside APN as a national sponsor of Stand in the Gap Today. Together, we share a commitment to further a true biblical worldview and to follow Jesus' command to be salt and light to the culture. BJU Press provides academically sound educational materials designed to fully equip children for college and the workplace. As postmodern culture seeks to eliminate God from the classroom, BJU Press integrates biblical truth into curricula that's accurate, dependable, and exceeds all national academic standards. APN welcomes BJU Press as a national partner and sponsor of Stand in the Gap Today. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. Again, we at APM welcomes BJU Press as a national partner as together we work to instill Christian values in the generations to follow.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
School property taxes are out of sight and going up almost every year. Even if you've paid off your mortgage, you haven't paid off the state of Pennsylvania. If you lose your job, you could lose your home too. But there is hope on the horizon. Harrisburg is considering a bill which will eliminate property taxes for school funding. It replaces it with a broad-based small increase in income taxes and sales taxes. This makes all Pennsylvanians responsible for school funding, not just property owners. Please join us at Montgomery County Community College in Pottstown on Thursday, June 25th at 7 p.m. for a town hall meeting to discuss how we can fully fund our schools without taxing people out of their homes. Town hall meeting, Montgomery County Community College in Pottstown on Thursday, June 25th at 7 p.m. Admission is free.
All right. I know this isn't any fun to talk about, but we should. So, who's going to do what? Flashlights?
Nowhere to be found.
Where to be found? Batteries?
Dead.
Great. Emergency supply kits?
Not packed.
No. What about blankets?
We have an old towel.
Good enough. Cell phones?
May not work.
Emergency water?
Not a drop.
And what about food?
Nope.
Perfect. We all know where we're meeting if we're separated, yeah?
The library!
Aunt Joan's house.
The bus stop.
Great. And I'll be waiting here wondering where you all are. Sounds like we don't have a plan. Who's up for mini golf?
Winging it is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency. Who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today. And, of course, I'm Gary Dahl, along with our co-host for today, Jim Brittell from the Arkansas Pastors Network. And, Jim, it's a delight to have you with us, my friend.
Yes, sir, and it's a delight to be here, my friend. I'm just looking forward to this next 40 minutes or whatever it is.
Well, we're going to talk a lot about some information that we all need to know more about. And our special guest in studio today is Steve Jolly. Steve, welcome to Stand in the Gap Today.
It is a delight to be here.
Well, it's an honor to have you. And, you know, we were just talking, ladies and gentlemen, in the break. One of the things I just found out about him that I did not know, among all the other things that he does, he's trained in theology. He's served as a pastor in the CNMA Church.
CNMA, yeah.
Yeah. My, oh, my. So you might break out preaching here.
It's happened.
It's happened. Well, maybe we could have you in to preach for us one of these days. But today, we want to talk about this idea of being prepared. And for any kind of disaster that might come along, why don't you share just a little bit right up front, Steve, if you don't mind, on what it means to be prepared and what we specifically need to be prepared for.
Okay. I'd like to start with a second with the Bible's view of preparing. Hmm. When you go back to the Old Testament and we look at Joseph, he was the ultimate prepper.
Hmm.
And preparing the country and the line of Christ mm-hmm. to survive so that Christ could come and free us of our sins.
Mm-hmm.
I think of the verse in Matthew where it talks about the birds of the field and the flowers of the field and how they don't have to worry about need. Well, we need to learn the how to take care of ourselves also.
Mm-hmm.
I do think there are a lot of people that think they don't have to prep because the rapture is coming.
Hmm.
But my feeling on that is the rapture is coming, and praise the Lord, and we can't wait till it does occur.
Mm-hmm.
But for the Antichrist to take control, our climate, our global economics, our global government, everything is going to get light years worse than it is now.
Hmm.
And I do believe it's possible that we can see persecution in America. A lot of people don't believe that. I didn't ask you that earlier, Pastor.
Well, that's okay. You know, it's interesting that you bring that up because I was in a conference last week out in California, and a part of that conference had to do with persecution and Islamic persecution.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't talked a whole lot about it on the program since I've been back. But in another conference that I was at, you know, a while back, Jim, you might be interested in this as well. It was out in California also, and the fellow who was leading that particular conference looked at the pastors. It was a pastors' conference, and he said that 50% of you pastors, and he was talking about those virtually who were 55 years of age and under,
mm-hmm.
he said 50% of you pastors will probably be persecuted for your faith because you're preaching the Word of God in America.
Mm-hmm. I believe that.
And most of us aren't prepared.
That's true. That's absolutely true.
But yeah, Gary, I agree. And Steve, I think that persecution is coming. As a matter of fact, I think we already see it. We see the beginning of that right now. I think that contemporary history is replete with indications. I don't think we're losing our head just yet, but there's no telling what it might come to. But I do believe that persecution is on its way.
Mm. And I think that's one of the reasons why we're looking at this particular subject, because we need to be ready for it.
Absolutely. And I don't think it's not unspiritual to be ready.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's more planning and preparing, and to not just for yourself, but for your church mm-hmm. and your family and neighbor to help, because you know they're not ready.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to take a team effort.
Mm-hmm.
And so why do I prepare? Loss of job?
Hmm.
Where's all our jobs go? And the jobs that are provided have a much lesser income potential.
Mm-hmm.
How about a disability?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The two things that I prepare for are an EMP. And for those that don't know what that means, that is an electric magnetic pulse. When an electric magnetic pulse will occur, and there's three ways that they could happen. You could have a sun flare.
Mm-hmm.
In 1850, the telegraph lines were all fried
mm-hmm.
because of a sun flare. They tell me in 2012, we missed a sun flare by inches on our planet.
Mm.
And what a sun flare does for the electric magnetic pulse, because our electrical grid is so old and you would have a couple grids that would collapse, they're going to all go like dominoes. So it doesn't have to be every grid station. And there's three separate grid stations in the United States, but depending on the severity and how far the reach is how many would collapse. Mm-hmm. You could have a low or a high-level nuclear bomb, which is what Iran is talking about.
Hmm.
You know, it's not only the Great Satan, but Russia and North Korea. And then the third way that could prepare an EMP would be, do you remember a couple years ago when the sniper out in California, they surgically took out a grid?
I do. Yes,
and,
sir.
And they picked up their brass. Mm-hmm. They cut the fire, the phone lines. They cut the lines for the security.
Mm-hmm.
They said it was a professional job, and they still don't know who did it.
Isn't that something?
And when you would hit six or seven main stations at one time, there goes your domino effect.
I've heard people say, maybe you said it, that really seven stations in the country could just completely put the country under, right?
Yes, that's correct.
That's all that it takes.
That's what I've read.
As they are really just located across this country.
Yes, and they're kind of linked.
Seven of them would bring this nation down.
To 1850.
To 1850.
Yeah.
My. Yeah.
Ask a question about this. Respond to the crowd out here that are going to indicate that when they hear this program, that this is a survivalist mentality. It's a conspiracy theory. respond to that, sir, because I think we're going to hear that.
I don't believe it's a conspiracy theory. I think it's just preparing so that I can be prepared for situations. And I do believe that if an EMP occurs, America has not stood up for the things of God. The church has failed, and the church is going to be punished. And as a result, I think that could result in some of these things. I don't think this is a conspiracy theory. If you go on Fox News and listen to Judge Jeanine,
mm-hmm.
she has done a phenomenal report on EMPs. And on Glenn Beck, Lori Du mm-hmm. has done some incredible work on EMPs. So it's maybe sounding out in left field because we've had our head in the sand for so long. And we think because nothing has happened in our country, we're the special kids on the block, and we're not.
Mm. We know, along with EMP, what are some of the other kind of disasters that we could face that we must be prepared for?
Well, I think there's an economical collapse potential also with our currency. And I always look at my dad built a house in 1950s, and he borrowed $7,500.
Mm-hmm.
And to show you how money has lost value, to replace that house today, you're looking in excess of $250,000, mm-hmm. the same house.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think at the same time, we need to prep for natural disasters,
mm-hmm.
Hurricanes, tornadoes, you know, whatever the event would be. If you would have a week down of snow and you can't get out,
mm-hmm.
you know, you have to be prepped. And so that might be more than a tornado in our area, but those are possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you go to a grocery store and they have the news that a storm's coming. Overnight, the stores are wiped out.
Mm-hmm.
So if there ever would be a natural disaster or an EMP, the grocery stores, the trucking industry, cars, phones, computers, radio would all be done, especially once the generators would run out of fuel.
And if there's an EMP, we really have no idea how long the system would be down. I mean,
that's
that
correct.
Could be down for a longer time than a natural disaster.
Yes.
Or an extreme weather situation.
Lori Du and Judge Jeanine both have said it'd probably take about 4 years to rebuild the infrastructure because all the materials to build them are overseas now. We've given everything away.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Steve Jolly, and we're talking about the importance of being prepared for disasters that might come our way. And we're just getting into this, so you will not want to go away. And along with Jim Brittell, who is the president of our Arkansas Pastors Network, I am Gary Dahl saying you're listening to Stand in the Gap today. We will be back with more right after this, so don't go away.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. Families of American hostages will now be able to negotiate ransom with kidnappers without fear of prosecution, part of a policy review ordered after the death of Americans held by Islamic State terrorists.
The families of some of those killed complained the U.S. government threatened them with prosecution if they paid ransom. The AP reports there will be no formal change to the law, but the Justice Department has never prosecuted anyone for paying ransom.
Fox News Radio's Rachel Sutherland in D.C. The president of France called President Obama today to talk about accusations of eavesdropping.
Documents leaked online claimed the NSA has been eavesdropping on French President François Hollande and two of his predecessors. Hollande saying it is unacceptable to spy on allies. His top security officials are examining if the documents are authentic.
Fox News Radio's Simon Owen, the U.S. ambassador, was called to the French Foreign Ministry. Fox News, we report. You decide.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Geer with today's Family Update. The United States Supreme Court is expected to announce its decision regarding so-called same-sex marriage any day now, and many expect they will overturn the long-standing definition of marriage. Please pray for a different result. But whatever the court decides, we need to educate ourselves and the next generation about the many reasons why marriage is and should remain the union of one man and one woman. That's one reason why we're hosting Ryan Anderson, the nation's leading spokesman in defense of marriage, at our upcoming City on the Hill Youth Leadership and Worldview Conference for Teens. This is the age group that most needs to hear this message. So find out more about City on the Hill today. Space is filling up. To get information, go to our website at pafamily.org. That's pafamily.org, or you can call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1. I'm Michael Geer, the Pennsylvania Family Institute.
WFYN. You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today. Sam Rohr and David Kistler are gone. They will be back with us again on Monday, the Lord willing. And so today my co-host is Pastor Jim Bertel, who's the president of the Arkansas Pastors Network. And you are in Little Rock today. Is that right, Jim?
No, sir. I'm in my home in Maumelle, Arkansas. It's just across the river from Little Rock. When you come across the bridge and turn left, it's about 5 miles down the road.
Oh, okay. Well, here I thought you were in Little Rock, but you're on the other side of the river.
On the other side, yes, sir. Well, yes, sir, that's right. On the other side.
If you're just joining us, he's an 80-year-old pastor, but he's not slowing down one bit, and we're delighted to have him as a part of our APN team. But today also we have with us Steve Jolly. And Steve is with us talking about being prepared for disasters that may come our way. And we were talking about an EMP disaster. Once again, Steve, explain what that is and then tell our audience what you told me during the break as to what the fatality rate would be with an EMP.
Okay. If I could answer Jim's question why this is not a conspiracy theory, FEMA camp also suggests that everybody have minimum 3 days of food supply. Now, I think a week would be better. I like what our Mormon friends have done. They start with a year of food, up to 2 years. Now, you don't just keep it down there. You use off your POW, and when you buy new, you put it back into the system. But an EMP would be so drastic to us in the cities that it has been said that over 80% of the population would probably die within the first year.
Hmm. Now, you say within the first year, so that means it would take a while for this disaster to pass.
It's going to take approximately 4 years to rebuild the grid. Our manufacturing is depleted in the country. They would have to bring the units in from overseas. They are not cheap. And, you know, you could also see the billions of dollars our country has spent on worthless projects. And all it would take would be a couple billion dollars to protect the grid, and they refuse to do that. I've also read recently where the warning system from the cold years with Russia is pointing the opposite direction from where the new threat's going to come from. Hmm. And, of course, the government does not make that reposition. It just makes a guy wonder, doesn't it?
The opposite direction. What do you mean by that?
Well, it was facing like northeast.
Right.
They think the next threat will come from Mexico across the border.
Okay.
And you could carry materials in and build them in certain locations and do what needs to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It could come from Iran, you know, which is a southern type. It would come from more southern than Russia.
Mm-hmm. And when we're talking about an EMP, and then, Jim, I'll go to you for a question that you might have. When we are talking about an EMP, it makes no difference if a person is in a major metropolitan area or out in the country somewhere. I mean, it would have its effect on both. No one would really be exempt from it.
No, nobody would be exempt. And you'll begin to see why you need to bind together with brothers in the Lord, because you don't want someone that is loose cannon.
That's right.
You know, and today we're just talking about preparedness things, but there are many, many other subjects that would go along with this in the preparing process.
Mm. Jim, do you have a question, sir?
Yeah, I really do. My question is that when you're talking about, like our Mormon friends, and I lived right beside a lady who was a Mormon, very faithful to her faith, and she was storing up food. And my question is, if you're talking about storing 1 to 2 years of food, and I know it wouldn't have to be that, but let's say you're going to store 1 to 2 years, how are you going to do that if you're living on Social Security?
Good question. One step at a time.
Okay.
Investments are not built overnight, neither is a defensive position. And you have to do what you have to do. And we have a group in our church, I call it the Bible study. And different people have different strengths. And the people that may not have the money to do all the food preparation would have other strengths that they would bring to the table to help the group be stronger.
Hmm. Now, you know, one of these disasters could really come at any particular moment. So here we are, you know, sitting here on Wednesday afternoon, a disaster could happen, an EMP could happen within the next 5 minutes.
It could.
It probably won't, but we don't know. But right now, there's somebody sitting out there saying, what is my first step? Where do I start with all of this?
I think the first step of starting is, you know, we're going to look at food, prepping, and this category is going to include food, water, and fire. And from my thinking, there's different kinds of food that I prep. Canned goods, since they have a lot of salts and that in them, that's really not the preferred way. But if you have them, you use them. But you have the dehydrated foods that have a 25-year shelf life, but they are extremely expensive. You could do freeze-dried, but one of my newest ideas is go buy rice, flour, sugar, and use a vacuum pack machine. The life is probably 5 to 8 years with them. Now, you're not just going to vacuum pack it, but you cycle it in with your groceries. And when you start buying 50-pound bags, you know, you're going to reduce your cost and you'll have more money for other things. But I think, you know, the other thing that is essential is, other than food, is water. And when you start looking at water, there's different ways that you would prepare yourself for water. If you have a well and the electric grid is done, you're not going to get water out of your well again. People will feel like they're stuck. Hmm. Well, all you need to do is put a little pulley above your well head, get about a 6-inch PVC pipe with a bottom cap. You drill a hole in the bottom, and you get one of those baby plungers.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You put it so the plunger's on the inside, and you put a screw on the bottom, so when you lower this container down the well, the plunger will push up to accept the water, mm-hmm. and when you're pulling it out, it will go back into the hole and stop it.
Hmm.
And depending on the pulley system you have, you could haul 3-4 gallons at a time, and your well is still functional.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you're near a stream or ponds, you would need to put water in what I call a bucket system.
Mm-hmm.
And you have 3 5-gallon buckets. You put holes in the bottom. The one bucket is going to have a gravel, one's going to have sand, and one's going to have charcoal.
Mm.
And that is a pretty good cleansing system.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then they have something out there called the straw. You want to see the picture? I'll hold it up. You can see it.
Yeah, they see that on the microphone.
And you just put that right into the water, and mm-hmm. you can drink. I don't care how dirty the water is.
I have something like that. I go to the foreign countries a lot, over in Africa and different places, and we've got something like that we take with us mm-hmm. in the event that, we are where we don't have good water. And that's most of the places we don't
yes.
have good water.
Yes.
And it really works.
Absolutely does work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got water purification tablets, but they taste a lot like iodine.
Mm-hmm.
But in emergency, you could keep some of those in backup. And then I think you'll also need to have chlorine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just plain old bleach. Mm-hmm. And that will leave a taste, but it will also clear water. So, mm-hmm. you know, 3 days without water, you're dead. And so the food preparations is I really like the vacuum-packed idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I think instead of everyone running out buying a vacuum packer, do it as a team.
Mm-hmm.
And where you could do it together, so not every person is absorbing all the cost.
Mm-hmm.
And with the food, you must learn to garden again. And that's what we'll talk about in the next segment.
Well, you know, it's very interesting. I think particularly when we get into the next segment, Steve, we want to talk about preparing in the church.
Yes, sir.
Because, you know, a lot of churches aren't even thinking about the importance of being prepared for these kind of disasters or anything else that might come along.
That's right.
And so we want to talk about that. So before we go into this next break, which is coming up in about 17 seconds, how can people get in touch with you if they've got a question on anything we've talked about here today?
Okay. My cell is 814-360-2270.
You want to say that again?
360-2270.
And that's in the 814 area.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Steve Jolly along with Jim Bertel. I'm Gary Dahl. We're talking about being prepared for disasters. And when we come back after the break, we'll be talking about being prepared in the church because so many times churches are not even prepared. They're not even thinking about it. And we've got to be prepared in the event something happens while we are in church on Sunday morning. So you're listening to Stand in the Gap today. I'm Gary Dull. We'll be back with more right after this.
As Christian financial advisors, we hold a biblical worldview and teach stewardship as a lifestyle. For over 30 years, we have taught families how to apply God's Word to our daily lives. Our three-day stewardship lifestyle seminars are held in Bible-teaching churches across America. We go far beyond basic budgeting and dig into the meat of Scripture. We believe that principle without application often lead to frustration. This is Roy Russell with the Life Financial Group in Douglasville. We are just west of Pottstown on Route 422. Visit our website or read our weekly blog at thelifegroup.org. There you'll find videos and PowerPoints for our ministry to the local church. In addition to investing and actively managing over $100 million, we prepare hundreds of tax returns for believers around the area. Come in for a second opinion and see how a biblical worldview can positively affect your investing and financial planning. Call us at 610-385-4500. That's 385-4500 or on the web at thelifegroup.org.
Securities offered through Genius Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
His travels were exceeded only by Lewis and Clark. He led expeditions up the Missouri River, discovered the South Pass through the Rockies, and the first land route to California. He led settlers across the Santa Fe Trail, the Mojave Desert, and up the Oregon coast. His name was Jedediah Smith. Born this day, June 24, 1798. In a letter to his brother, Jedediah Smith wrote, "Many hostile Indians inhabit this space. In August, 10 men with me lost their lives by the Amuchabas Indians. I have need of your prayers to bear me up before the throne of grace."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
At the end of his life, King Solomon stated his concluding counsel for all who would listen: fear God and keep his commandments. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. The Bible speaks a lot about the fear of God. It's the beginning of wisdom, which God says in James 1:6, we can have if we ask. But the fear of the Lord is also the beginning of knowledge and understanding truth. It's a fountain of life. It's more valuable than great wealth. King David says the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. When a nation fears God and obeys his commands, their leaders will rule in the fear of God, and he will make even their enemies to be at peace with them. Do you fear God? If so, the Bible says you will hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way. I'm Sam Rohr with the American Pastors Network asking you, do you want wisdom, understanding, knowledge, safety, and confidence? Then fear the Lord and keep his commandments, because that's where blessing always starts.
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The Resource Library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm Gary Dahl, and along with Jim Bertel, we have with us today Steve Jolly. We are talking about preparedness, and Jim, I don't know, down there in Arkansas where you are, is there much discussion about this going on amongst Christians, amongst the churches there?
If there is, Gary, I'm not sure, but I know this. I was going to tell a story about this. In about 1977 or so, we were at church on a Sunday night, and a gentleman came, if you want to call him that, a gentleman came to the door and knocked on the door, and this was after the church service was over. And we opened the door, and he came in, and he was a beggar and begging for something, and he had his hand behind his back. Right hand behind his back, as though he was hiding something back there, and he was asking for some money, for food and drink and whatever. And we'd seen so much of this down here that I was leery of trying to give him any help, but just going to give him money, and he's going to go get some booze or drugs or whatever. And while he stood there, I talked with him. And I had five of my men in the church at that point in time just sort of came up close, probably 5 or 6 feet away, but we sort of surrounded the both of us. And when I concluded the discussion with him, the gentleman turned around and walked out the door. Well, I came to find out that when these five men surrounded him, every one of them had a concealed carry. And this guy would have never gotten out of the church.
And you didn't even know they had a concealed carry.
Beg your pardon?
You did not know they had that before that time, right?
I didn't know it. No, I didn't know it. Yeah. But I found out when the guy left.
Well, there's a lot of that happening today, you know, and that's another issue. You know, I just this past week have been in some discussion on whether pastors should, carry guns even when they're in the pulpit. And, of course, that's a discussion for another day. But, boy, there's a lot of that going on up here as well, Jim. And.
Invite me back on that day. I can tell you whether I got one.
Okay, I'll do that. What about the church, Steve? I mean, is the church prepared to face a disaster like this? And if not, what can we do to be prepared?
I think that, let me say one thing on the last statement. Guns do save lives. And what they have proven is when legal concealed carry permits go up, crime goes down in those parts of the country. They can say what they want. What happened in South Carolina was a travesty. Too bad somebody wasn't concealed carrying. Hmm. It would not have happened.
I often said, and I've been in a lot of discussions about that since last Wednesday, I think the pastor was the first fellow that was shot.
He was.
Had he had a concealed weapon, maybe none of the nine would have been killed.
That's correct.
You don't know.
You just don't know.
You just don't know. So there's a lot of value in that discussion.
There's been thousands of lives have been saved because someone stands up for the other person and is prepared.
Yeah.
So some things the church needs to do in preparing, I think, is first recognize, do we need to defend each other? And is there potential problems in the future that could be catastrophic? And one of the things that folks don't think about is buying seed. And there's a place called MyPatriotSupply.com. They sell heirloom seeds that have not been scientifically altered. They are more nutritionally rich than seeds that have been produced by Monsanto. The Monsanto seeds have chemicals with them. They're designed to produce more food, and they have less nutrition. Have you noticed the bee problem we're having in the United States?
Mm.
It's stemming back to the chemicals that's in the seed. France has suspended Monsanto seeds, and the bees have returned.
Hmm.
So there's something to that.
Mm-hmm.
But the other reason for non-GMC seeds is once you grow that fruit, I can take the seeds out of the squash, the pumpkins, the tomatoes, the peppers, dry them, and they will grow the same fruit the next year.
Mm-hmm.
The altered seeds will not produce the second year. I wonder why that is.
Why?
They want us buying. They want us.
That's the case with a lot of things today in America.
They want us stuck in the system.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so if you have a church that is open and is willing to talk to each other, I think a good way is to break it down into categories. You know, one of the things you'll need is food. And if the worst time of year that something could happen would be September, August. The gardens are done.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to go through the whole winter. The wildlife will probably survive for maybe 2 months. Everybody's hungry. They're all going to be shut off.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, it would be a great idea to coordinate with a farmer in the region where you can start raising rabbits.
Mm.
How about some chickens?
Mm.
There's people raising chickens in town. You could raise mm-hmm. rabbits in town. They're very there's no noise with them.
Mm-hmm.
Four female rabbits with their litter in the course of a year could have over 100 babies.
Mm, wow.
That's called protein.
That's protein. That's a lot of eating.
Yes. And the chickens would give you the eggs. Mm-hmm. And you don't even need a rooster if you're in town because of the noise, and they can still produce eggs without a rooster.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And as they get older, they'll be needed replaced.
Mm-hmm. You know,
they'll produce eggs for 2 to 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
How about milk if there's babies?
Mm-hmm.
You need goats, I think.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I like goats is they're easier to handle. They're not as big as the dairy cows or the beef cows. And you can take milk and make cheese and butter, and the milk is more digestible.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking with Steve Jolly here, and of course Jim Bertel is on with us as well. And the whole concept of this program was learning how to be prepared for disasters that may come. And maybe what we've done today is raise more questions than we've given answers, and that's okay. That's what a brief radio program like this is all about. And we may be talking to Steve Moore later on as time goes on, because you've got a lot more I think you could share with us.
Mm-hmm.
But once again, give your phone number in the event that somebody would like to get in touch with you, please.
814-360-2270. And I have a reference resources that I could email you.
Okay. You don't have an email address?
It's safemoney.jolley, J-O-L-L-E-Y, @gmail.com.
safemoney.jolley
@gmail.com.
Hey, Gary?
Yes.
Before we close, how much time we got?
About 2 seconds.
Okay. Later.
No, I think we've got about 20 seconds, but we've got to wrap it up anyway. But Jim Bertel, thank you for being with us today. We'll have you back again one of these days as well.
Thanks. I hope so. It was a pleasure, my friend.
It was an honor to have you with us, as well as Steve Jolly. Ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow, Senator John Eichelberger will be with us. And so until then, I'm Gary Dahl saying stand in the gap for faith and freedom. Keep looking up, because we know the best is yet to come.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap today.
a wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government, taken from Thomas Jefferson's first inaugural address, March 4, 1801.